25 trial-ready cases. We achieved 73 trial-ready cases. In terms of the value of amount involved in procurement fraud and corruption-related cases, we were to seize 5 billion rand and more assets. We've achieved a 1.3 billion rand that was restrained. Chair, if I could move to the major highlights, the arrests. On overall, there were 5,000 arrests affected by the DPCI. In terms of the narcotics, and perhaps before I go on to the successes, Chair, and maybe just that at the last session, with my closing remarks, I did give the committee an indication of something that was to come in that week. I'm really proud to announce that on that Friday, we were able to dismantle a syndicate involved in rhino poaching, where we had 10 individuals who's currently appearing on racketeering charges. And in terms of the, that is beginning to address the right levels of crime. If you look at the criminal value change, that is at least, it's not addressing it at the level one where the poachers are involved, but it's addressing it at the level four where we begin to talk about the exporters. In terms of narcotics, Honorable Chair, a week-long operation that was informed by intelligence in the Northwest resulted in the arrest of 16 people belonging to 3 syndicates operating in and out of the province, drugs valued at more than 40 million rand, vehicles valued at more than 1.4 million and cash amounting to 186,000 rand were seized in that specific operation. The DPCI arrested a syndicate suspected of dealing in drugs between South Africa and Tanzania in a crime intelligence drone sting operation in Kempton Park. A total of 50 kilograms of drugs were seized in that operation. There was 20 kilograms of heroin, 15 kilograms of cocaine and 15 kilograms of tick. In Johannesburg, 2 men were arrested after a raid on a suspected drug laboratory in Boksburg on the East Rand. The lab equipment and 150,000 mandrax tablets were seized. On narcotics, Honorable Chair, was not in the presentation there, is that just to draw the committee's attention that 35 clandestine laboratories were dismantled during the reporting period. In terms of illicit mining and precious metals and diamonds, the number of arrested individuals for the illegal purchase, theft and possession of uncut diamonds and unearthed precious metals was 159, and 814 persons were convicted. 927 suspects were in total arrested for illicit mining. 89.09 carats of diamonds were confiscated. Honorable Chair, those are just a few. If in the presentation that I made last week, there were many more successes that one was able to highlight. We also reflected on the different environments within the DPCI, the organized crime, the commercial crime, and our anti-corruption components, and what their specific achievements were. Honorable Chair, that's my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions to General Dramat from the floor? Honorable Kola Barnard, Honorable Groenewald.
Apologies. General Dramat, fill us in, please, on the status of the various court challenges to the Hawks Bill. Where are we? Is it now? I seem to think in all of it, it's coming back to the Portfolio Committee. To be reworked for a third time. Is that the situation? And this uncertainty that you've constantly got hanging over your head of where and what and how and who you report to and who you don't, etc., is that having an impact on morale? And it has struck me that the fact that you're, as an entity, having to share various SAPs, entities, such as, you know, the budgeting situation. I mean, do you determine your own budget, where you use it, how you use it? Are you independent in that regard? What about intelligence? Are you fully equipped in that regard, or are you again leaning on the SAPs, in which case that's another area where you're not at all independent if you have to do exactly that? Just fill us in, because those were obviously a number of the issues that have been raised in the court challenges. Thank you.
Honourable Groenewald, then Honourable Molebatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Two questions. The one is, and I think I've asked it last year as well, the targets that has been set is quite low. And can I just have a further explanation? I can't remember what the explanation was. I think if I look at the slides, it's around in the 50s, if I'm correctly. So that's a bit low. The second one, Chairperson, maybe my memory must be refreshed. I think it was early in this year. Now, I have in my mind that the Commissioner made the announcement, maybe it's not with the DPCI, that drugs to the value of 1 billion had been seized. And then later on, the figure had to be adjusted drastically. That was a bit of an egg on the face of the announcement. Can we just have clarity on that issue, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is just one. Who decides which docket is trial ready? Is it the IO, the branch commander, or who? Thank you.
Yes, a more generic question from my side, maybe to the National Commissioner. Just to give us an indication more about what do we envisage in terms of the timeline for Program 6, the separate report of this unit coming to Parliament, to this committee. Then, during our last interaction with the DPCI, the question again of the budget came to the fore. Now, we as a parliamentary committee, and this issue of the BRRR process and the role of Parliament to ensure that there is enough funds for priority areas, and that's a matter that the Police Committee haven't really looked at, but my own assessment is the Hawks is doing very well. We need a unit like that to ensure that we address serious crime. How, in terms of the budget planning for the current situation and next year, is there steps to ensure that there's enough resources? Because in the last interaction with the Portfolio Committee, it was difficult for the DPCI to determine what is happening in the provinces because the budget is split. So if this, you know, if we can just get a sense of that, where are we in terms of that process? You know, that the committee is ready next week. If we want to make recommendations, what should be the nature of it? Thanks.
Chairperson, let me start exactly where you ended, and then General Skete will also come in. The reason I started where I started when I introduced this was precisely the fact that whatever we think, wish, or contextualize, DPCI is as much a part of the detection value chain as is detective, as is FCS, as is stock theft. The fact that there is a new legislation that wants it ring-fenced can never make them less police detection. They will remain that police detection offering, and it is very important that it be integrated into the broader JCPS process to ensure that at the end of the day we have a good dockets that go to court and that we have convictions of the criminals. However, the discussion around how it is done is where we meet a lot of issues. And to that effect, it really is challenging because it seeks to actually start saying it's an island, it's a Madagascar sitting there, and policing is South Africa sitting here. And it's important for us to realize that if it's a Madagascar, it is part of SADC. If it is South Africa, it is a piece that is leaning next to. And otherwise, we will bring a lot of disjointedness in our offering of dealing with policing in this country. I think I want to put that very clearly. However, Chairperson, as you are saying, how do we go on? Treasury have not given us permission to have it as a separate vote. They are part and parcel of vote 25, vote of the police. And they are a specialist unit within the police with a lot of other offerings. So in terms of budget, General Dramat cannot go to Treasury or come to somewhere else and have a separate budget. We must share within the budget vote of the police. And General Skete will talk to their issue. You'd have seen even in terms of the expenditure, there's a unit that is slightly underspent because indeed we've made a lot of resources available to them. And General Skete will talk to that. We've seen others are 101%. They are slightly below the 100%. We are doing our utmost to ensure that they are well resourced. And indeed, even in the migration, we will have to look at ensuring that as some of the functions that are sitting at lower levels going back to the detectives, we should not create those shortages in their area. So the budget type of issues, it's not of our making. Unless this Parliament decides that they are given a different vote, it's not of our making. We do the best within what we are given. So DPCI is part of budget vote 25 of the police. They are allocated money like we allocate to others, and then they must account in terms of how they've used the money. The other issues, clearly, if I may just touch on what Honorable Barnard asked, we know that the matter of the Hawks Amendment Bill has been argued in the Constitutional Court, and the outcome thereof is reserved. As soon as it comes out, I'm sure Parliament may be taken to the drawing board for other things. We don't know, but at this point in time, we're continuing as if the decisions that have been taken, the instructions of this Parliament, we're continuing to implement them. That is why we're having the migration plan. Should that outcome come and change where we are in terms of implementing that which has been decided upon, there will again be a process of obliging. The issues of low targets, I'm sure General, you can deal with those ones, and then I will deal with the drugs value together with the General Minister. Yes. Oh, General Skete, let's finish the budget one.
Thank you, Chairperson. Because they're not a program six, a separate program yet, and as I've said, whether they're a sub-program or whether they're a program will be part of the vote police, except if legislation or somebody decides they should become an own designated department, an outside vote. They're part and parcel, but they've got certain legislative, what I call preferences, in terms of how they should be dealt with. Currently what has happened, for their budget, we have written them eventually, initially, at the beginning of the year for inputs. They provided inputs and they received allocations such as any other cost center.
We haven't tampered with any funds in this regard. Members will remember that 3-4 years ago, I think we increased it with 100 million, because that is exactly what that specific program currently is what it is. Going forward is the most important thing. We're in the midst of the new MTF process. We'll be forthcoming to portfolio committee also in time to come after MINCOM, but cabinet and medium-term budget policy statement, state of SONA, state of the nation address and so forth. What we're currently busy with, we've informed the National Treasury we would like to have a Program 6 for the DPCI. That will imply thus that we will have to, if you take that red book, we will have to compile specific purpose and objectives for that specific program. We will also have to apportion some of the funds, the personnel, and the vehicles. Kevin, can you go back for me, please, to that specific one? From between, let me put it like this, between general detection, crime detection, and specialized investigations. How do we do it? We've done that based on, if I remember correctly, the policy. We haven't done, but it will have to be done in terms of the policy and the protocol that was approved by the minister, and I think it went also through this portfolio committee. Parliament also approved, I think it was the protocol. And because you will have to decide some way or the other how to take that specific sub-program, that 1.3 billion, and that 9.608 billion, and decide what from the 1.3 goes to the 9.6. And it might also be that if there is a function that goes from there to there, it might also be a reverse process, but mainly it will be another process. Now, I'm going to ask General Dramat to refer to the policy and the protocols in this regard. There was then discussions, various numbers of discussions, by the two environments, also with finance. I think we also met at the college. General Sitoli became involved. The fact of the matter is, there was then decided what protocol should be used. And simplistically speaking, should one, based on those protocols and policies, use a 60-40 split, a 70-30 split, a 80-20 split, a 50-50 split? At some point there were arguments, but this is not cases, they are projects. There were different kinds of, a lot of discussions, but currently we're going forward based on this. We are in the process of trying to determine also with organizational, with OD, to see what could such, but obviously General Dramat will have to sign off, what could such a purpose and objectives be for Program 6? That will then be fed into the draft aspects. Chairperson, I think normally it's around November. And beginning of December. It will then be fit into that process, and I think we have to finalize the latest at towards the end of January, that kind of scenario in terms of the MTF process. Obviously in this whole process there will not be an arbitrary split at all. General Munu and General Dramat, I think, I cannot speak on their behalf, but they were heavily involved in trying to determine the most appropriate manner in which such a apportioning could take place. Because if they decide on a functional methodology, then finance could apply the functional methodology and OD in order to get to a resource apportioning. And that has been done. We have spoken to the National Treasury. It is now about the configuration of the vote. There's, however, one thing. Who's going to stay and who's going to go? You're not talking about enlistment here. You're talking about people already in your junior and senior management. Costing is very difficult. If it is a person on a lieutenant colonel, your unit cost is going to be very different from a person on warrant officer. What we don't want to do, because it will be a relatively smaller program, is not to have our estimates. Remember, there's no baseline with this new apportionment. Is to have the baseline as close as possible, and it's probably going to take us a year or two to refine, because we might have a scenario next year after members of this committee as part of Parliament approved the estimate of national expenditure, that we might say we've under or overestimated this program based on your compensation, which is your biggest cost driver. Remember, our compensation runs in the vicinity of between, I don't know, in this program, 70% to 80%. It's more experienced personnel. It's not a number of new recruits that you are introducing here. So given this context, this is where we are. The intention is still to have the program 6 next year, sir, because that will then automatically also determine or enforce some of the provisions of that SAPS Amendment Act. I just hope, and I say it tongue in the cheek, and it's probably, I'm setting, food where angels fear to tread, but I just hope that there's not, after this, another legislative process, then we have to adjust again. It might very well be the case, but all I'm saying is we're taking it cautiously in order to, and in this regard, the head of the DPCI, General Dramat, and his personnel is very much important. It is not at all, and I think General Dramat should express himself, it is not at all a thing that's been forced upon to say you have to go like this or that. It was the policy and the protocol was a concurrence that took place between the DEFCON General Detection and General Dramat. But I want him, because he's got more definite information than what I have, is for him maybe to just elaborate a little bit on what I've said. The fact of the matter, Chairperson, is we have to push now to get the configuration of the program in such a state. And it is not a question of taking out a day and quickly write objectives and purposes. And especially I am cautious about, and because I've got a vision, I'm going to sit here next year and say, maybe we made our estimates too leniently or too conservatively on a certain level or not. That is why I think it's so important that we do it in a step change, but the intention is still, members of the committee, to have that program 6 as well. That will then, and I was thinking about that specific subsection of the SAPS Amendment Act, it will then be a separate program, and you can give effect to some of those aspects, such as the reporting, where that program is then being dealt with currently as a sub-program, but in a more comprehensive manner by General Dramat, that it will still be part of the vote. It's not going to be something different. It's not like the Secretariat, who became a designated department with a transfer payment. It would be SAPS expenditure. They even say the accounting officer remained the same. So the best I can, from a layperson point of view, in the sense of I'm not a legal expert, say it is a program with certain preferential treatment. That's how I prescribe it. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification. I mean, we're not saying at all that it's a different vote. All what we want to know and ensure is that it's ring-fenced, as in accordance with the Act. Then it's fine. General Dramat, over to you.
Maybe before General Dramat comes in, Chairperson, as accounting officer, let me put it on record. First and foremost, we are committed, shall ensure that we comply with what the law of the country wants. And the feedback that we're giving is in accordance with that. And when we talk about that operationally and in terms of executing the function, there are certain issues in terms of the amendment bill that we have to comply with. We are doing that. There are PFMA issues which we cannot avoid. As an accounting officer, I have to comply with those. There are public service issues that as an accounting officer I have to comply with. I will comply with those. So I want to say the first thing that I put on the table is the issue of compliance. Secondly, in the process of getting the compliance right, we must purify, because the loose arrangement that was there between the detectives and the DPCI. We have to deal with. There are cases that are sitting with DPCI that must move and go to the detectives. There are focus areas that should be migrated elsewhere. This is the arrangement that General Skete is talking about. General Dramat is here, General Munu is here. They can talk about that. The migration process is work in progress to start saying, if we assess right now and look at the whole body of work, what does it mean? There's talk about 60% of the work moving from DPCI back to the detectives and 40% remaining. At some point they were talking 70-30, and they're here. I'd like both of them to actually articulate the agreements that they've had to talk about that. But there is a chunk of lower levels of detection that must move from General Dramat back to General Munu, and we don't have new money for it. So some of the money would have to move with those functions, because nobody is going to give us a new budget. There's no expansion of the baseline that we will be promised. The third issue is the fact that I must continue to account as an accounting officer according to the prescripts of this government. Finally, the outcomes at the end of the day, it's about reduction of crime. We must ensure that whatever we do, walls are clearly strong and built to ensure that irrespective of which unit this function is sitting, the outcome that the citizens of this country are looking for is a reduction of crime, not any other thing. I think it's very important for us to note all those issues. General Dramat and General Munu.
General Dramat.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. The question was in terms of how far in terms of timeline of the establishing program 6 as per the legislation. And I think the answer is that there has been a letter that has been sent to Treasury with that intention, and General Skitt has indicated that we are in the process of moving to the establishment of Program 6 as per the legislative, as the legislation requires. The issue of that we have had discussions in looking at purifying of the DPCI mandate. Remember that the legislation says that there must be a DPCI that focuses on serious crime, serious organized crime, serious commercial crime, serious corruption, and national priority offences selected. It does not give the DPCI to deal with all of those offences. And therefore, the discussions in terms of what was the workload that is with the DPCI currently in the form of cases, what is it that needs to be migrated in terms of cases? And there was roughly a determination that 60% of the cases, case dockets, that was with the DPCI at that point in time is perhaps matters that does not fall within the criteria of the serious level, and that those was probably should be migrated. Chair, in terms of the previous presentation that I made, I did indicate there in terms of what are the factors that is used to determine the seriousness, and there was questions from this house where I indicated those elements that we have, the monetary value, the complexity, amongst others, that needs to be taken into account to determine which are those that would be ideally investigated by the DPCI. I also need to indicate that the DPCI in the approach, as I indicated in my previous presentation, we are not case-based. We are thread-based. And we'd like to move away from having the case dockets, but rather to look at the threats and guided by proper crime threat assessments and criminal value chain assessments, determine where is it that we need to be focusing at. So those are the things that we'd like to use. What we have agreed to is that, or the discussions was that 60% of the work of the cases that was currently at that point in time with the DPCI should be investigated by the detectives. Now, it does not mean necessarily that 60% of the human resources needs to move. It doesn't equate, especially if you understand that the approach is different, where you have a matter, an investigation that is at the DPCI level. You might want to get a team approach to have better and quicker success rather than a single investigating officer. So that is not a, one would agree that 60% of the case dockets, but it doesn't translate necessarily to 60% of the current personnel needs to move. I think there is a process that we need to undergo to determine exactly what is the required staff levels of the DPCI, and this is the matter that we need to engage with DPSA, as the legislation says that we should be engaged. There has been informal discussions with DPSA. One wishes to formalize that so that we can get into the process of determining the structures for the DPCI as well as the staffing levels of the DPCI. The legislation puts that within the head of the DPCI to determine that. Similarly, on the issues of the budget, the legislation also indicates that this is money that should be ring-fenced and says that it must be a program on its own separately and begin to report. Now, Chair, I'm not, I can't argue that the money that was allocated thus for the 1.3 that has been insufficient for the DPCI to carry out its activities. In fact, with the money and the budget that we were given, the committee could see that in terms of the targets that we have set for the DPCI, that we achieved all those things. We've had lots of successes with those the money that was allocated. However, we do need to do work in terms of the control of that money. The 1.3 is not entirely under control of the head as things stand now. Of that 1.3, the head is actually in control of in terms of the operation, it's 178. The capacity, 100 million capacitation and the 78 million. So those are the things that hopefully would be corrected with the establishment of the program 6. And it's not a sub-program of us. In terms, I think there has been, to respond to all the questions that was posed by the committee members, I think there has been an indication on the core challenges, and the National Commission reflected that on August 19th, the Constitutional Court actually heard arguments. There hasn't been a judgment, and it could be that the legislation is again in front of this committee to deal with. But as the DPCI at the head, one is to continue with what is currently there on the books and implement to that. And these things, one does impact on staff. This uncertainty, we do try and communicate in terms of what is happening and try and get our members to focus on achieving the targets and the work that needs to be done. That is what we are doing. And yes, it is so that that in terms of the legislation, Honourable Chair, that the DPCI may not have its own intelligence that says so in the legislation. So one can't. The Act is very clear on that, Chair. In terms of the targets that is set too low, and the reference to the 30%, this would be in terms of the successfully terminated organized crime projects, which was set at 32% was the target that was set. And whilst it was based on what was achieved before, but it's also taking into account the whole move of where we'd want to take those projects and the levels at which we want to focus them. And in the previous presentation that I made, I did make a reference to an operation that was done within the Northern Cape and simultaneously in Dar es Salaam around the issue of diamonds specifically. And that project was successfully terminated. It was at the appropriate level of a DPCI. but the project was actually started 2 years ago. So the minute you begin to focus at the right level and the right quality, it's going to impact on the time, Chair, that you take. And therefore the targets are set, seemingly could be set low, but it's so that we can achieve and get those projects and investigation focused on the levels where it's going to make maximum impact, instead of going and putting higher targets there and beginning to address projects at the level where we're able to achieve those targets. So that is the rationale behind why it is so seemingly so low. Remember, that target is for a financial year. I would have preferred if one could have set the target over a 5-year period, then it would have been much, much better. But that's just the explanation on the targets. In terms of who decides which the docket is trial ready, that is a determination that is made, yes, by the relevant unit commander, but also it's agreed to by the prosecutors. In most of our matters, we already have prosecutors on our matters from the start. They're part of our dockets, and so they would be making that co-determination of when we see that the docket is trial ready. There's no outstanding work within that docket. Chair, I think I've responded to the questions.
Thank you very much. General Skete. General Moody.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. In regards to the split, we went through a process, a joint process, which I was personally involved in physically looking at all the investigations that are within the DPCI environment. And from the investigations that were within the environment and the act specifically dictating which cases should be investigated in terms of the seriousness of it, we had a categorization, as General Ramat mentioned, and when at the end of the audit that we have done, there were just little over 20% of the investigation that should remain within the DPC environment. Last year, December, the minister questioned as to, we decided there should be 65% of the staff remaining, 65% of the staff being moved over to the detective service, and 35 should remain within the DPCI. And the question was posed to me, why the 65, 35? And my answer was that we have to give the program a chance to grow. There is other focuses that they need to place on themselves on. In terms of what they're carrying now would not give them the leeway to go and venture into what they should be carrying. And therefore we decided on this split of 65-35. However, we said that it should be evaluated after a year, after the split, to see whether we need to readjust it. We do not want to make the same mistake we made when we established it. The DPCI. The idea wasn't to transfer the whole organized crime and commercial crime over to the DPCI. But we did that at that stage, which I say we faltered in that. We should have did a process of selection as we went and decided which cases should go over and which members are suitable to investigate those things. Therefore, the agreement was we would do a 65-35, giving a leeway of growth within the environment. And we haven't did a latest survey again, but that was the last survey we did. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for that information, General Skutter.
Chair, I hope you see now where finance comes in. The fact of the matter is, I was doing a bit of role play while they were talking. I was looking at the honourable members of this committee as our superiors. So easily the couple of us could sit next year and you could say, you've taken our 600 million away and given it to crime investigations. How on earth did you get to that? So we could under or over very easily. Or we can leave most of the funds there and most of the work move there and you could say, you've created shortages now in the crime investigation environment immensely, wealth resources is with another sub-program. The prerequisite in this regard is this, as far as we can foresee, and nobody of us can absolutely foresee in the future, to get our functional purification as close and as correct as possible. It might take us even a year or two, in a little bit of trial and error coming back to you in order to say, yeah, maybe we should move a little bit of this number of million either up or down. Well, that not down, that would be program six. Because it could impact on your environment, it could impact on your outputs, and what we don't want is to sit here after a year or two and say, because of an total inappropriate split or apportioning, we actually impeded on the outputs. That's more important even than the compliance. And I think this is a cautiousness that we try to take into account in going forward in this regard, sir, because it's both environments play such a crucial role and prominent of nature, contentious of nature, and one of the big mainstreams in our environment. I just wanted to say that, and I hope the context is to the committee, because we must be upfront with the committee to say this is the kind of things that we sit with, and if we have to make a 65-35 split, then we do it. But then the committee must fully know this is the way, and this is what we saw in this regard, taking into account already approved policies. General Munu, is it by the minister, and is it by the portfolio committee, General Ramat? Who signed?
Chair, I feel I maybe need to comment. Raised, you know, because Chair, I think the issue is on the legislation. There's the issue of implementing legislation, and we need to move there. The issue of splitting and migration does not amount to implementation of the legislation. Yes, there was a issue of where there was an assessment in terms of what is the current caseload that's there, given that the DPCI must focus on the serious part of things. As with there, what is the caseload that needs to migrate? And as I want to argue, this does not necessarily mean that you can make a clinical that the human resources to investigate those must also have that same split. If you have a case that is a complex matter, you don't have the same resources attached to it as a matter that is simple. There isn't a direct correlation between the case, the number of the case. You need to look at the issue of the complexity of the case and what would be the required resources. So there isn't a mechanical balance of say 60%, and therefore 60% of the personnel is to split. But that is something that one did agree to, that as a starting phase, that is what could happen as a starting phase. But in terms of establishing and developing the DPCI, there needs to be the determination of what is actually the required amount of personnel that is needed, and hence what is the required budget to support those operations of the DPCI. And just in terms of the legislation, it clearly puts it that the issue of the staffing of the DPCI is a matter that is determined by the head of the DPCI in consultation with the DPSA.
Just one thing, sir, I would just like to say here, and that is that we can't move all of those funds to Program 6, because they're then going to end up with a function that's also non-compliance. Damn if you do, damn if you don't kind of scenario is very difficult. Because you can't move the Program 6 under this unit and then say another unit will do the job. So we have to come to some sort of a split in terms of what remains and what goes. Thank you.
Thanks for that. Colleagues, Honourable
Chairperson, can I just
wrap up? Yes, Commissioner, yes.
I'd like to leave this committee with these four issues once more. We must comply with the provisions of the Act, and not malicious compliance, productive compliance. So I want to say to you, we shall comply. But to get there, we must purify, because as we have said, the functions that are lying in these two units are highly polluted. We must clean and make sure that by the time we purify and we comply, we are guided in how we allocate resources. And therefore, once we've done so, Chairperson, there is one accounting officer for vote 25. I must be enabled to come back before this committee and this parliament and account for the resources that have been given to us. We shall ring fence and make sure that General Dramat and his team are able to do their work. In terms of outcomes, we owe it to the citizens of this country to ensure that whatever we do at the end of the day, it assures that we continue to reduce crime and we report the successes that we are seeing. We will continue to share in terms of CI and other things, and we should never, as we go through this process, start over compartmentalizing that we should not over compartmentalize, because there will always be continuous dependencies that have got to be managed in that compliance framework. So I really want to say an appeal to all of us that we understand it in that context and we enable the process, taking those four key issues into account. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you for that. Honourable Markey, and then just want to see on that side, Honourable McConnell, and then Honourable Kolobana.
Sorry, Chair, on a point of order, I've asked the amount on the drugs.
Chairperson, let me start off by saying any bust of drugs is a win for this country. It can never be egg on the face of anything. Whether it's 1 million or 100 rand in a pocket or a billion, it is a bust. And we're out there to do exactly that job. And you would see as we go forward, Honorable Groenewald, that this black market pricing of drugs will move away from. We'll give you the value, because the price of Northern Cape and the price of KZN and the price of Eastern Cape, you will find very different scales and very different ways of and the price of NPA. And in the process, in that whatever, you have finished products, you have producing products, not all of them are put on a scale and valued monetarily. For instance, in the issue that you are mentioning, the equipment that was used that came from China was never calculated into that process. When we spoke the price, we were talking about many of those things. So the pricing issues you'll see as we go forward as a principle we'll move away from, because of those pricing variances and the fact that what sits in that price and what doesn't sit in it. So, but I just want to say, indeed, for us really, it's the fact that we continue to make a lot of busts in terms of drugs, and it doesn't matter what it is. What we should celebrate as a country is that we found criminals that are producing, and we got those. Egg on the face, it doesn't count now.
Honourable Markey, then Honourable Kolobana.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm getting a bit confused about the explanations here. And my understanding is that the migration doesn't go with functions. Functions remain subject to correction. The functions remain And the description of serious crimes surely still remain. I remember I'm the one that asked the question of how do you go about identifying serious crimes, and the explanation was that the magnitude in terms of money, the way it is organized, and so on and so on. My understanding is those remain the designated functions of the DPCI. And I'm becoming a bit confused if you migrate even personnel, because then it means you are migrating even functions, and functions are established by a legal act which you can't touch, according to me. And that must have its own budget. You can take, if you re-describe serious crimes, you can take some of those things, but not the function itself. So that's why I'm saying the explanations that I got from the two generals are conflicting. And I'm not sure who is supposed to deal with this problem, because if it's not solved now, then there's no way in which you can ring-fence the budget, because you won't agree on the actual budget who is supposed to decide on. And if General Dramat is saying the aim the focus is on, it's threat based, it's not on what do you call this, it's not on cases. So I'm not very sure whether we are the ones that must deal with this, or must we send them back to go and sit and try and solve this, because they're actually confusing us. They must say this is what the law says. If General Dramat says the law says he must determine his own personnel, then they must solve that. If it's threat-based, they must explain to us. Ring-fencing, who actually decide what must be ring-fenced, they must tell us all of those things. I don't think, all we can do is say that there's confusion here, go and solve the confusion and come back and tell us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Markle, Honorable Kalabada, and then Honorable Groenewald.
Yeah, I think I need an explanation for the sentence by the National Police Commissioner that both the detectives and the hawks are deeply polluted. I don't know what that means. Are you telling me they're full of criminals? Are you telling me they need a wash? Well, I don't know what that phrase means. I keep on hearing this word, purify you. It sounds like some, I don't like it. It's very strange terminology. And if either of these units have criminality in them, which is the only possible term we can look at in terms of that phrase, then I'd like to hear about that. And what I am hearing, which is very concerning, this unit was set up as a SOP to try and replace the Scorpions. Everyone in this room knows this. Everyone in this room knows that Judge Sissy Kampempe said leave it under the NPA, but that didn't happen. So now you're left with a unit that I see seems to be under attack from the SAPs. I'm hearing and seeing things all the time that tell me that it's not actually getting the support that it needs. It's not having the independence that it needs, and we have international protocols that we've signed saying we will have an independent corruption-busting unit. We don't have that because it's not independent. Relies on you for the money, relies on you for intelligence, relies on you for everything. So I don't know where this is going. I'm very uncomfortable with hearing you chuck a coin in the air and divvy up staff and things. What is that? This is supposed to be an entity that gets whatever resources it wants in order to be as good as what we had before. And lots of shaking of heads and muttering, that's your option to do that. But we don't have what we had before. And I'm very uncomfortable with hearing that, oh yeah, we're just going to divvy up the staff. It's expertise that should be allotted, not bodies. Really, it's very odd what's that being said here today.
Honourable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe just remark, maybe we must wait for the findings of the Constitutional Court on this matter, because, I mean, it's going to be a long discussion. I personally have a bit of a problem asking more money, but it has been underspent if I look at the budget. But let's not go into that debate. What I want to say, Chairperson, and as I said, it's more a remark, I just want to say to the Commissioner, I'm very glad to hear we're moving away from the value when it comes to drugs. But I must inform her, unfortunately, from the public side, and I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee of Police, I'm confronted by questions, but is the Commissioner really knowing what's going on in the police if she makes that sort of statement? So that is the truth. Thanks.
Yes. Welcome. Honourable Chairperson, thanks. I, a person, and it wasn't my intention to make a comment around the issue. If I have listened to General Dramat, he had indicated that the budget of specialized investigation wasn't fully under his control, and that there was underspending of 97. Now, in terms of the variances of the underspending, it isn't a major trends mesh. But what he didn't indicate was who was then responsible for the other part of the budget, in terms of, you have mentioned, if I remember correctly, 1 million and something like 800 or 300, a million, 100 million, and then another amount that he had mentioned. I would like to believe that the major cost in terms of the 100 million, whatever it is, must be related to staffing of the unit. So that's where the money... Can I continue? Thanks. So that's where the other money must have went into. Now my question is, what have become clear in terms of my observation? That everything is not well. That's now my observation. Everything is not well in the management of SEPS. And I'm a little bit concerned. If my perception is like that, sitting here as a committee member and listening to the arguments in terms of the management, in terms of the specialized investigation and the management of SEPS in general, I don't want to go into it to explain why I say why my perception is in that way. And I can just quickly indicate, before they could respond, I have listened an hour to the explanation of the Commissioner and Mr. Schutte, General Schutte, in terms of the explanation before they have allowed General Drama to respond to those issues. Now, my question is, how do you intend rectify the situation in terms of the relationship between yourselves as a management team of SEPS? Someone has indicated that we should send you back and you must discuss, but I'm concerned it will create more conflict amongst yourselves. And I'm using the words conflict because it is clear that everything is not well. So my
question, Chairperson, that we perhaps should arrive at. Doesn't we need the session specifically with this management and discuss this particular issue in terms of the funding? Or, as Mr. Groenewald, Honorable Groenewald, have indicated that we should wait on the court judgment. But I'm concerned, the longer we will wait, the more things will expand to a level that we will not be able to control the situation. This also has the potential to play out very negatively. Yes, members of the public with us, that will play out very negatively in the press even. And that is what we should guard against. We should therefore focus on fighting crime. And our people needs to be protected in that way. That's my appeal, Chairperson, to the management of SEPS. Whether it's in Program 4, or in Program 3, whether it's a Program 6, but we must do what we believe in is the correct thing. And also listening to some of the wording that was used, as Honorable Barnard, Caller Barnard, have indicated that she have highlighted one, but there was also other strong language that I didn't expect it to hear during this session. And I can mention this words outside of this meeting. Thanks.
Right, thanks. Any other member who wants to come in? So I think most of the input that we receive now is comments from members on the proceedings. I just want to maybe again, before I give an opportunity to SEPS to respond, to say that part of our, let's say, program for this week and next week is to make recommendations which could inform future allocations and therefore inform the main budget. That is really part of the process, and we must provide an assessment on the effectiveness and efficiency of the department use and forward allocation of available resources. So I think what we've heard, the various maybe inputs, we must reflect on that. So I think we'll take the input from the members as part of that process, and when we sit together with the report, we will reflect on that as well. So I think we must take that into consideration going forward, you know, taking the various input. But let's give also SAPS an opportunity to respond to the input of the members.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first thing I must correct are the words that are being ascribed to me. We can play these tapes over and over again. There is no way, Chairperson, where I voiced the statement that says DPCI is deeply polluted. I have never used those words, and it is not even implied, and it was never said. So we can play those tapes, and I would like, Chairperson, really, for that to be dealt with, because I've never said so. I've never spoke of any pollution. I've never spoke of any criminality. I haven't mentioned those issues before this committee. So I plead that we first deal with it. What I have said...
Let's deal with it.
Yes.
Get it out. Honorable Kola Bana, can you maybe just withdraw that specific reference?
I would like the tape to be checked, please, because I very clearly heard her say there is pollution in both and a need for purification. I don't know what that means, and that's why I asked the question.
What I can confirm is that I mentioned four things. I said we need to comply, we need to purify, because organized crime starts from level 1 to level 5. And there are certain levels that General Munu has mentioned that need, you know, at a lower level where it's not, or even General Dramat mentioned that, to say what they're dealing with is highly organized, it's carrying values in terms of money, what Honorable Mike was saying. So in all those levels, the process that they've been talking about in terms of migration is to say at what level, which files are sitting in their space that are at lower levels that have to be migrated to General back to detectives. Purification is about that. And that's part of the migration that we've been talking about. You'll always have commercial crimes in the work that General Munu and his team are doing, but it's lower level things. If a cell phone is stolen or small, whatever things are happening, it will be there. So the purification is about which things are at a complex, high level, high value type crimes are going to DPCI. At no point did I talk about criminality, at no point did I talk about the pollution that Honorable Barnard is referring to, and it is important for the records of this committee that that be dealt with, because I have never said that throughout this day. So the purification I spoke of was those levels, and the formula has been worked on. They've been working to say what is level 1 to 5, giving definition to say organized crime level 1 to 5 means the following, commercial crime level 1 to 5 means the following, and it's the work that the two divisions are dealing with. Purification that we talk about is about that. It's not about the issues that have been raised by Honorable Kola Barnard, because I've never said those things, not in this space. And also, Honorable Kola Barnard raises an issue of attack from subs. I am on record saying these functions are so interdependent and they are important to the outcome of fighting crime. It's the entire detection chain. What is sitting in FSL? What is sitting in General Dramat's place? What is sitting in General Muni's place? All those issues are very important for the detection of crime in this country. So to say there is an attack against from subs, DPCI is subs. Why would they be attacked by subs if they are a part of subs? So it's those issues, Chairperson, that I just want to raise and say, there is some misrepresentation in terms of what I've said. I've said we need to comply with the Act, the Amendment Act, and I've repeated it at the beginning and as I close, we need to comply with the PSMA, we need to comply with whatever Public Service Act provisions are there in order for us to implement this program. I have said we need to purify to ensure that those levels 1 to 5, the protocol for looking at which functions should be sitting where, and we shall do so, Chairperson, and explain it clearly in very categorical and granular terms to say what do they mean when they say it's organized crime at level 1, at level 2, at level 3. General Dramat was talking about areas where it might be grey when it comes to level 3 to say is it crossing this way, but that process they've worked on as detection people. I have said it is incumbent and it behoves me as the accounting officer to account to this parliament in accordance with the protocol and prescripts of accounting. And I have said the outcomes, we owe the citizens of this country to ensure that we deal with those issues of ensuring that we reduce crime. I have never indicated that we're fighting, and I want to say this morning, and as General Dramat concluded his presentation, as General Patan concluded his presentation, we were all talking about their successes. And if SAPS is not functioning, those successes wouldn't be there. And if SAPS is not functioning, we would not come in here to present to you that we have spent our entire budget retaining 28,000. So it's important for us to have a balanced conversation that actually shows that we've been listening to the performance of an entity. We've been listening to the outcomes. I've had praises and commendations coming from this committee. And if indeed this organization is not working, we would not be able to bring before you this quality of report. And I want to assure this committee that SAPS, in many, many years of its existence, is experiencing a much more rational, objective, and positive environment in terms of doing their work. And this is why we would even be able to, in an MPET evaluation, which is outside us, it's monitored by people outside, we managed to move from a position 27 to a position 12. If it is an organization that is not well managed, it would not be able to achieve those issues. So I just want to put that before you, Chairperson, and assure you that to the extent that, like any organization, we deal with our issues, but ordinarily, I assure you, Honorable Kruneval, that the leadership and the membership of SAPS, a lot of things that we're seeing, it is in good hands. And it is a well-managed organization. We continue to take advice. We continue to take criticism. We continue to be a better organization that we seek to be, because any democracy that does not have peace and stability can actually write off the beauty of that democracy. And I think we're working very hard. That is why you would see secondary issues such as our tourism is up. We delivered the elections, very good elections, Chairperson. We continue to deliver very good events. The burial, within the burial of our past president, within a week or two, we had to host 100 dignitaries from all over the world. And it is the protection service and the police of this environment that made sure that those things happened. If this organization was dysfunctional, we would not be celebrating those good things. So as we celebrate the good things, let us also remember the ordinary men and women in blue who work very hard to ensure that those things happen. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Beth. I just saw Honorable Martha, you're the last one, yes, because I want to close in 3 minutes.
Okay, now I just wanted to agree with the National Commissioner that she never said that. In fact, even General Dramat used the term, but the United States didn't say purify, he said cleaning. So it means they use the same term and it, they can't, I mean that proves that in terms of that, that is the language that they might be using, Bona as the police. So I would agree with you that Honorable Barnard must withdraw. We were all listening.
Honorable Bailey?
And I've asked again that you check the tape, please.
Honorable Bailey?
Yes, Chair, it's just to weigh in that the words polluted pollution certainly were used. I did hear them. I think the question that was being asked is with reference to what? Because the words pollution and purification were linked together to say there is some kind of polluted situation that is being purified. We've heard one explanation from the Commissioner, and the question from Honorable Kola Barnard was with reference to what is the word polluted and pollution being used. So the word was used, and there was a question for clarity as to what that refers to.
Chairperson, point of order. May I propose that we get the tapes, listen to it, because we're going to have a debate the whole night. Get the tapes, let's get the context, and then we can solve the problem.
Yeah, I don't think it's a major issue. I think what was important of this debate, and remember, next week we're going to, well, tomorrow afternoon we're going to have the Secretariat as well, and IPET next week. It's about implementation of legislation. That's really what we were dealing with. And there might be different, let's say, perceptions and opinions, but at the end of the day, we as committee must monitor that. How is that legislation implemented, and what is the results, of course. So thank you very much for the BCI. And
point of order,
yes.
Yes. I think it's not as easy as that. If you throw an allegation like that,
yeah,
and we say it's not important, I don't think we mustn't end it at that. We would rather say let's go and check. Thank you very much.
Your Honourable Markey, I've occurred with the Honourable Groenewald's proposal that let's get the necessary and we'll deal with it. But I mean, the more important thing of this afternoon is that we've gotten briefing on the progress made by the DPCI. and that's very important in terms of the, but I think we must also read their contribution this afternoon with the previous briefing that they gave in terms of the process. And I think that was a more thorough explanation by the two generals on that process currently. So I think we must not take this afternoon's discussion in isolation in terms of where we are. So we'll monitor that. And then tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, we will start in E249. Yeah, E249. So it would be appreciated if members can be there on time at E249. And hopefully we'll be finished before 7 or 8 o'clock, because we will start with SAPS, and then later in the afternoon we will deal with the Secretariat of Police. So thank you very much for everybody's participation and contribution. Apologies for the small venue, but there's no space in Parliament. So tomorrow we will have an appropriate venue in E249.
Chairperson, I know you are done, but the important thing is as you listen to the tape, take the context that has been put here, that Sarah said the places are full of criminals and all that, and I have not said that.
No, we'll ask this. Sorry, we're going to close. We'll ask the Secretariat to get us those relevant things. Thanks a lot. We close this meeting. Thank you.